Welcome to another edition of Madden Monday. Tim Benz and Mark Madden with you. Mark, a rarity, car bound while doing the Madden Monday podcast today. Mark, can you execute the podcast and execute a ride home at the same time?
Tim, the train kept a rolling all night long. I just did a deck and roller hockey tournament in beautiful Mount Pleasant, PA. I am on the way home, but it's time to talk sports. No time like the present. My focus is razor sharp, and if it's not, I'll die mid-podcast.
Well, if that happens, at least you won't have to watch the rest of the Penguin season.
Well, I remain convinced the Penguins are a playoff team. I remain convinced the Penguins will play their way out of this. I just am not convinced exactly how they're going to do it. Their roster's frozen. People talk about making changes. There's no changes to be made. I mean, I see people suggesting trading Brian Dumoulin. Who's going to take Brian Dumoulin the way he's playing and on his contract? Mike Sullivan's not going to get fired. I'm not suggesting he should, but he signed, you know, for many more years to come, you know, pretty much paralleling the term of the core three. So I think they're going to dig their way out of it. I just don't know how. Now, in terms of scapegoats, you got to start with the big three because this is what they wanted. They wanted to stay together, be the three amigos, spend their whole careers as teammates and as Penguins, and I admire that, but the team has an old look about it, and it plays bad third periods, and there's a lot about it that can be traced directly to the team being too old. Not just them, but, I mean, look at Jeff Carter, you know, hurt already a lot. Look at Jason Zucker, who's no youngin', and he's, you know, been in and out of the lineup, although he has played well when he's been available, and he's, you know, not been out for, I think, what, more than a couple games, but stuff like this just adds up. And you look at Mike Sullivan, still unwilling to really stake anything on a younger player like Samuel Poulin comes up, and he was once the guy of goal-scoring pedigree when they made him a first-round pick, and now they're turning him into a checking center and not even giving him a look in the top six when injury dictates that might be something you try. Instead of Danton Heinen, for example, although I have no problem with the way Danton Heinen is playing. You look at the defense, I think it's time to make POJ a top four defenseman. I think he's played well enough to merit that. I know they've partnered him some with Letang, and I actually like the way that's worked. I'd love to see Ty Smith come up from Wilkes because he's reportedly ripping it apart down there with the Penguins minor league farm team. But they can't because of cap implications, which leads me to a way to blame the general manager, Ron Hextall, because how can you get Kasperi Kapanen $3 million when A, he stinks, and B, that puts Ty Smith in Wilkes, even though he should be up here?
Yeah, that move, as well as Heinen's potentially, although I saw more logic for the price associated with Heinen, that cap-eating number for Kapanen, to me, was a complete head-scratcher, especially when you look at the manipulation that's now needed to get a guy they apparently coveted to the point that they used him as part of the Marino trade.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dan Heinen is, what, $1 million, right?
Yeah.
And he fills a legitimate need. He can really play top six, bottom six, either wing. Although, again, I would keep him in the bottom six and give Samuel Poulin a shot in the top six when injury dictates. But Kasperi Kapanen is despicably bad. And, you know, we've been waiting, you know, dating back since they drafted him, then they traded him, then they traded to get him back. He just can't seem to get his head dislodged from his backside. I think he is a guy who's more worried about what he's going to wear after the game than what he does during the game. I just see no reason to have brought him back. He's proven on a nightly basis there was no reason to have brought him back, but they brought him back. Tim, you know who would have played in Kapanen's spot had they not signed him?
Somebody else?
Somebody else. You know me too well.
Well, could that somebody else on the blue line be Smith to answer your Dumoulin problem that you brought up before?
Well, how do you get him up there? I mean, yeah, maybe, but how do you get him up there when the cap prevents?
No, I'm saying if they were to trade Dumoulin is what I'm saying.
Who's going to trade for Dumoulin, Tim? I'm not. He's not very good.
Somebody else? Can I go that route with that one too?
No. There's certain questions where that doesn't work, and this is one of those.
I know. I mean, I guess it would be an all your good players for all our bad players kind of move. I get that. I'm just wondering if perhaps there's, I don't know, a forward that doesn't quite make the same amount as money as Dumoulin does, that a team might be willing to swap out, that could be disappointing in their view, but they need the help on the blue line, and then in the wash, that difference can create the space for Ty Smith to come up.
I think that's possible, Tim, if you can prevent those other teams from watching tape of Brian Dumoulin.
He's been that bad in your eyes, huh?
Yeah, and I'm a fan. I mean, personally and professionally, what he's done, but that the problem is Sully's too big a fan. Sully has too much allegiance to guys who have accomplished things here in Pittsburgh for him.
I believe I saw the line pairings today and the defense pairings. It looked like they were practicing with Pettersson and Letang a little bit, at least for a couple of rushes and at least for a couple of drills. How do you think that would work?
I don't know how it would work, but Pettersson's been their best defenseman this year on either side. So wherever they put him to try to prop up the defense as a whole is worth a try because he's earned that chance.
How have you felt about the goaltending?
The last 2 weeks, not very good, but I can't blame it for what's happened.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. In fact, I heard a question that was asked of Mike Sullivan after the Buffalo game regarding Casey to Smith because, you know, they gave up, 4 goals in the third, and the question was essentially, doesn't your team need to get a big save somewhere along? And yes, the answer to that is yes, but I think there are many other questions afoot that the Penguins need to answer, and if it's reduced to just goaltending, either him against Buffalo or, say, Jari against the Bruins, I think that's doing a disservice to the other mountain of problems that exist out there.
Exactly right. It's like Matt Canada with the Steelers. In that Buffalo game, the tying goal and what proved to be the winning goal came. Gino made a turnover for the tying goal when he could have got up the boards and just made a save play, and he just refused to do it. He went in the middle, it got picked off. And then the winning goal was because Pettersson joined the rush, which they apparently are just bound to do by their strategy. I mean, that's not Petey thinking he's Bobby Orr, looking to break the game wide open. They want a defenseman to activate every time they rush the puck, and he did, and the puck got turned over, not by Pettersson, and it came back the other way 2-on-1, and Buffalo scored the winning goal. So, do I want better goaltending? I think everybody wants better goaltending, but it is not even close to their biggest problem.
If there were to be a partner out there for Dumoulin, Mark, does this get brought back to no one wants to make Letang unhappy, like no one wanted to make Sid unhappy by bringing back Letang and Malkin? I mean, does Letang have that kind of pull about saying who he wants to skate with?
I think all that's out the window after 7 straight losses, Tim. They've not lost 7 straight games since Sid was a rookie. And might I add, Colby Armstrong was on that team, and I blame him personally for that 7-game losing streak.
I heard that, and I think he accepted the blame. In fact, Sullivan, I believe, was the coach on the other bench for the Bruins the night it got to 7, if I recall what Seth Rorba put out there on Twitter correctly.
It just gets deeper and deeper, doesn't it?
It does, and I don't know how they get out of it. And I think to a point, Mark, that you and I discussed early in the season when they were playing well, if we can actually remember back to that, this is the time of the year where I would hope they would be stealing wins against 50-50 teams, toss-up games, because they should be healthy, they should be on the same page, they should have some continuity maybe the other teams are working through, but they look like the opposite of that. And, I was more concerned about them losing steam and petering out later in the season if they didn't have a playoff spot secure. Now they've got to dig themselves out of a massive hole.
Well, the most troubling thing, and it's the most troubling because it's a very intangible thing, they keep blowing leads. And they don't blow leads because the other team is tearing the game from their grasp. They're blowing leads because you can feel it coming because they collapse. And, again, that's very intangible, but it's extremely disturbing when it happens again and again.
I'll go back to your initial comment at the outset of this discussion, Mark, and that is, this is something that they wanted. They worked to make this happen. They worked to bring everybody back and keep the collective together. So there's no one to look at except for management and the players themselves who wanted to make this happen.
Oh, no. The core three don't have a complaint at all. This is exactly what they wanted, and they have to make the best of it. By far, the most responsibility lays with them, because the situation was created entirely at their behest and at Mike Sullivan's too.
Mark Madden with us. It is a Madden Monday. Well, Mark, at least the Steelers didn't lose on Sunday, so a pretty good weekend for Pittsburgh.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
That's right. There's a lot of that going on right now, too. Hey, you know, look at how good the Jets are. Hey, you know, look at how good the Patriots are.
Well, you know, I you and I talked about this briefly off the air. I watched some of the Jets in Buffalo today, and Josh Allen, when he, you know, was flapping his arm around and kind of, you know, flexing his elbow at game's end after they lost, it reminded me of some of Ben's movements when his elbow exploded back in, I believe, the 2019 season. And it makes me wonder about Josh Allen moving forward. I guess he did his post-game interviews, and he appeared none the worse for wear. But that looked very spooky. To the point where it seemed like Josh Allen was pantomiming what Ben did almost exactly.
I'd be worried about that if I'm a Bills fan, for sure. And the other thing about that, Mark, is with the surgery that Ben underwent, remember, that was in week two of the season. That was in early September. Here we are coming up on Thanksgiving. And that took Ben a while to come back from. Some would say maybe he never did. Now, he was a hell of a lot older than Allen. Let's see what this issue is. But if there is a similarity to what he would need to be reconstructed, that would be a huge blow, not just for this season for Buffalo, but going into next year, too.
Well, it would mean they're not going to win this season. But, we got to wait and see what's what. It looks spooky. Tim, I feel bad for Mitch Trubisky. This could have been his big chance in Buffalo.
Yeah, I know. He's got to be kicking himself if that's the case.
I think he's going to be kicking himself just for, I don't want to get that debate started, but I think he's been hard done by here in Pittsburgh. I think Mason Rudolph's been hard done by here in Pittsburgh. I think they were both sold a bill of goods by the coach. I think certain promises weren't lived up to for either.
What'd you think about what Trubisky said last week going into the bye, Mark, essentially echoing the concerns and complaints of Kenny Pickett about practice habits, things of that sort for the Steelers, saying that the issues that are present right now with the offense are the same ones that were present for him? I think he's right on all those fronts, but I would also argue, though, that some of the shortcomings that Pickett has shown are similar to the shortcomings that Trubisky showed when he was in there, too.
Well, Pickett sticks. Trubisky wasn't very good when he played. Matt Canada is the great Satan, and everything would be great had he been fired, but it all trickles back to Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's done a terrible job as coach, as de facto GM, as de facto defensive coordinator. He is the root cause of almost everything that's gone wrong with his team, and if nobody else is going to say it, I'll say it again and again.
I agree that the buck is supposed to stop with Tomlin, and we should act like that time is now and not in the future. It's almost like there's a collective belief that the heat can't be put on Tomlin until he has that losing season. And I would say, okay, go ahead and think that way. But honestly, then the heat should be really there because they've underachieved with playoff-worthy rosters in seasons leading up to this one.
Oh, no. I've said repeatedly, too, that's the biggest complaint. What's happening now, I put most of the blame on Tomlin, but I also acknowledge that, you know, every franchise has bad patches, you know, has a bad year, two, three, four, however many this turns out to be. The real waste by Tomlin is the last 11 years when he had a Hall of Fame quarterback and he won three playoff games. That was a team with the components to do much better, and it did not.
You mentioned the Jets earlier, Mark. Was that the most intriguing result for you today without the Steelers playing?
Tim, I'll be honest, because I'm driving a car and can't, look at the scores on my phone.
Yeah.
The only other result I know is Liverpool 2, Spurs 1, and I'm very content with that one. I did watch some of Jets and Bills. I think the Jets are a good team. I think the boy toy is, only an okay quarterback now, and I think that may be their undoing. But I think there's something there with him that once he grows into that position, it takes every quarterback, including Kenny Pickett, some time to do. I think they got the coaching. I think they got the defense. I think they got decent players in the trenches. I think that's going to be a pretty good team and may make the playoffs this year. I also saw Green Bay losing to Detroit. And Aaron Rodgers is so in the tank. I would think he dreams up an injury and misses the rest of the season. And I would suggest he retires, except Aaron Rodgers is greedy uber alles. And what's he do for a couple more years, $50 million per? I don't think he'll walk away from that, but I think he just looks like he doesn't want to be out there.
The one last thing I'll take away from this weekend as it relates to the Steelers is for folks who are looking at the schedule and saying, well, it should get easier in the second half, Well, maybe, but that doesn't mean the Steelers are going to get any better, A. And, you know, the Bengals put up 42 without Ja'Marr Chase today. The Falcons hung in there 20-17 against the Chargers. Okay, the Panthers stink, I get it. And the Raiders stink, I get it. But still, you're talking about splitting hairs to get to 5 or 6 wins. And is that really going to make you feel better after the bye?
No, it will not. I just think this is a crazy season. Again, you know, Rodgers is in the tank. I think Brady's finally hit a wall. How often are the Steelers really bad? I think that shocks people probably more outside Western Pennsylvania than it does within. We're just mad, but anybody who didn't see this coming didn't want to. Philadelphia is incredible. I mean, there's a lot of things happening this year that, I don't know, again, maybe we sort of see them coming. I mean, what else strikes you as really highly unusual? The Jets, we talked about them.
Yeah, the Jets, the Giants, the two New York teams. I think the Geno Smith story with Seattle is highly intriguing. They're winning again right now as we are speaking, 20-14 at least at the point of this podcast.
You know, Mason Rudolph could turn out to be a Geno Smith when he goes someplace else.
Well, I think he thinks that, Mark. I mean, there's
probably... Well, why shouldn't he? I mean, Tim, he's never got... I mean, I know fair doesn't figure into the equation when it comes to professional sports. He's never gotten a fair chance here.
What also might be funny is if the Steelers gave Claypool to the Bears and the Packers wind up stinking, even if Claypool doesn't help the Bears all that much. And like if Green Bay ended up as the better option.
What if the Bears finish out of the Packers?
That's what I mean.
Up the draft pick for the Steelers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The Steelers could have traded Claypool to Green Bay. And I think, but then again, I think Claypool would have single-handedly resuscitated Aaron Rodgers' year and career. That was sarcasm, Tim.
Did you ever get any response, Mark, to the Kyrie Irving conversation that you had on your show?
No, and now that's expanded to include that Matthew Miller kid who signed with the Boston Bruins.
Oh, right, the kid that was accused of bullying in, like, the eighth grade or something?
No, he did bully. He confessed when he was in eighth grader. He badly bullied a black kid with a learning disability. And, you know, he got drafted by Arizona. He got his rights renounced by the Coyotes. Now the Bruins signed him as a free agent. Everybody's going double live gonzo. Okay, and don't get me wrong. I wouldn't want the Penguins to sign him. And what he did was reprehensible. But have we decided now he should never play again? And if we have decided that, who gets to decide that? And what exactly is the criteria?
And what are the statute of limitations?
He was 14. And I keep getting told he's an evil person. Maybe he's an evil person. He was also 14. I mean, you could commit on robbery when you're 14, and you get a clean slate when you're 18, correct?
I believe there's a lot of calls for Michael Vick to get a second chance. I remember hearing a lot about that.
Yeah, well, this was a little. I mean, this was pretty bad if you read the description of the bullying. I mean, stuff that I have a hard time even detailing here on the podcast, but like. If you don't want to play, then tell me why, and tell me how long, and tell me who decides, and tell me what the criteria is for everybody. Because Gary Bettman said the league has to make him eligible. The league doesn't have to make him eligible. Okay, I mean, can he be suspended for life by the league for something he did when he was 14? That was Gary Bettman baby-facing, you know, for the mob, for Twitter. Let me tell you, Tim, if he sues the NHL or AHL to be able to play, he'll win.
Yeah, I mean, they brought Tony D'Angelo back, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, and again, I don't want to make it seem like he's campaigning for this kid. I just want to know what the criteria is and who decides. Because if it's Twitter, I got a big problem with that. I mean, it's something to really joke about, but I mean, like, I just don't get how this is being handled. I think that's the most accurate way to put it. And I also, with Kyrie... Okay, they suspended him because he won't say he's not anti-Semitic. Well, Tim, you know why he won't do that?
Because he is.
Because he's anti-Semitic. Right. And don't get me wrong, that's reprehensible. And here with the Tree of Life tragedy, that hits home in Pittsburgh a little closer than it does in other places even. Although anti-Semitism is so rife. I mean, and you know, it has been. And, you know, so much bad things have happened in the name of anti-Semitism. But, I mean, you know, you have to not be anti-Semitic to play professional sports.
Yeah, and
is that a requirement?
And I echo
and do we And do we inquire of everybody or just Kyrie Irving?
And I echo your sentiments before, which is, you know, the mob is such that it wants to decide, and it wants to decide so quickly that you're not even allowed to talk about it, or else you are associated as guilty, too, for even bringing up the conversation. And that's wrong.
Well, right. And that's why, you know, as you can tell right now, I'm carefully considering every word I say. But you know, and I'm not anti-Semitic, and I think Kyrie Irving's reprehensible for what he said. Are we telling people how they have to think now to play pro sports? Because it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly sounds like it when we try to talk about it and we're told that we're just as bad as the person who allegedly committed the act that people are upset about. And that's the thing that drives me crazy, because if you can't even have discourse about it, then we really have sunk as a society. But then again, I knew we sunk as a society a long time ago.
All right, you just get shouted down. So again, I'm not, you know, again, I don't support Kyrie Irving. I don't support Mitchell Miller. I just want to know what we're doing here. I don't think that's anything offensive on my part. Do you?
No, I don't. In fact, it's a conversation I think that's worth having. How was the deck hockey tournament, Mark? How did that go?
Great, Tim. 29 teams, having a lot of fun. And where were the winners from? Ridgeville won one of the men's deck. Butler won the other men's deck. And I forget, the Wilder teams, I'm not as familiar with them. They just have names. I don't know where they're from. But they were, the Wilder A final was as close to professional off-ice hockey as you could see. It was wonderful.
And none of them blew major leads in the third period like the Penguins did, I guess, then.
The team that won the top men's deck division, they were up 3-0, tied 3-3. Up 4-3, 4-4, 1-5-4. So it was a pretty exciting game.
Mark Madden and I will be part of Madden Ben's Unfiltered. In fact, we'll be all of Madden Ben's Unfiltered. 9:30 a.m. on Monday. Be watching for that. And you can listen to Mark Monday through Friday on 105.9 The X.
And Tim, to reiterate, like, I do think the Penguins are going to dig out and make the playoffs. I just don't know how. I don't see anything they can do that they can do or are willing to do. Like, I would put, if a top six is out, I'd put Poulin up top to see how he can do. They're just not going to do that. I would play POJ with Letang for like 10 games in a row. I just don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that, and I have the same reaction when it comes to the Steelers and rebuilding their team. I think they can do it. I just have no idea how they're going to do it and how long it's frigging going to take.
And I would trap and counterattack if I were the Penguins, especially situationally. At certain points of the game, depending on the score, against certain opponents, and I just know they're not going to do that.
We will take all of your suggestions on Madden Ben's Unfiltered tomorrow and probably renounce them, but we'll take them anyway. So send them along. We'll be on at 9:30. Mark's on 3 until 6 every day, Monday through Friday, 105.9 The X, and four times a week here at Trib Live, and read me at Breakfast with Ben's.